I do want again to thank you for the opportunity to be away last week. I did get to see my mom and my dad. I got to visit my brother's Sunday school class in a church in Knoxville and attend my mother's worship service, which required that I drive at speeds I normally don't drive in between the two. But we didn't get stopped, and my brother drove a little slower than he sometimes does, so it all worked out. We are looking at the Baptist Faith and Message. I did notice there's a stack of copies in the back of the room, so if there are people who have not gotten a copy of the comparison sheet and would like one, we can supply one. Let's see, Jerry, is there anybody who needs one? Everybody got one? Right now, do you need one? Do you need a copy of the Baptist Faith and Message comparison? Is there anybody else? Okay, and as we're getting started, I'd like to do this week what we've done before, which is to read through some of the scripture verses that are listed with this topic for this week. And so I'd like to have some volunteers to read, if I could, and pretend that I don't remember your name. If you look confused, tell me. The ones that are circled are ones that I'd like to read. They're a little bit longer passages. Let's not worry about these right here. Let's do Jeremiah. First one. For a moment, I wasn't sure which of you was sitting back in the corner. Mostly. First Timothy. We may not get through all of these, but we'll do what we can. Hebrews. Okay. And then there's another section in Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Anybody want to take that one? Okay. I need to start out this morning. If any of you have not been in church yet, this won't make a great deal of sense to you. But I was meeting this morning after worship with a couple of you, and one of you informed me that you had really thought you might be a pro basketball player. That didn't work out. Another one, a swim coach. That didn't work out. Another one said that his father had been an expert with electricity and with managing electrical devices, worked for Virginia Power for years, I think he said, although he had had no formal education. And he said, I always thought I'd be an electrical engineer, but I just never seemed to be able to do it. And I said, well, maybe you got too much education. Okay. We are reading passages that have to do with God. The second topic that we're coming to is the topic of God. We talked about Scripture for a week or two. We're moving now to talk about God. And if you'll notice this section, this is perhaps the most complicated section in the Baptist Faith and Message, because it talks about God in three persons. And so what I'd like to do is read with you the opening paragraph and the paragraph about God the Father. I'm going to read this out of the 1963 version. You've got the other versions on either side if you wish. And then we will begin to look at the scripture lessons. I remind you, if you're going to talk about God as Father to human beings, that means that you really begin to overlap with what will be the following section, the section on man. And if you begin to talk about God at all and talk about God as Creator, which the first paragraph does, you're going to be overlapping with some other aspects that are out there. So don't see these as encapsulated. See these as connected and overlapping. But here we're focusing on the role of God in these various ways. So the paragraphs say there is one and only one living and true God. He is an intelligent, spiritual, and personal being, the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. God is infinite in holiness and all other perfections. The 2000 version adds, at this point, God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and his perfect knowledge extends to all things past, present, and future, including the future decisions of his free creatures. You may notice, for those of you who remember our look into Calvinism, there's a little touch of Calvinism in that that's a little more direct than it would be if that sentence were not present. To him we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. The eternal God reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes but without division of nature, essence, or be. And in the first paragraph, under this, God the Father. God the Father reigns with providential care over his universe, his creatures, and the flow of the stream of human history according to the purposes of his grace. He is all-powerful. The 2000 version adds all-knowing, again connecting to that sentence that you saw in the earlier part. All-powerful, all-loving, and all-wise. God is Father in truth to those who become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He is fatherly in his attitude toward all men. So now let's begin to read a little bit of this section. So, Jeff, if you would read for us Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
It's always interesting when you look in detail at how the Bible starts. The Bible starts with God as creator. And the description of what he creates includes a whole bunch of things that human beings tended to worship in those days. And so, putting God in his place as the originator of those is that. Okay, 2:7, Dorothy, I think you have this. This talks about creation of human beings.
And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathing through his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Caroline?
Write on him, because I am, that is who I am. Tell them that I am, and sent me to him. And God said further, you must tell the Israelites this, that it is Jehovah, the God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who has sent you to them. This is my name forever. This is my title in every generation.
So God is revealing something of himself. Jim?
This is Israel. The Lord our God is the one, the only Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength.
One of the most difficult things to get your head around, I don't know that it's even possible to fully do that, is the idea of God in three persons and yet God as one. This is a bedrock verse for the Jewish folks, and it's a bedrock verse for Christians as well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, Deuteronomy 32:3-6. This is in a song that Moses put down near the end of his time on earth. For I shall proclaim the name of the Lord and tell the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are equitable, a trustworthy God who does no wrong. He is the honest, the upright one. But they have acted perversely, those he fathered without blemish, a deceitful and underhanded brood. Is this the return you make to the Lord, O people brainless and unwise? Is not this your father, who gave you being, who made you, by whom you subsist? Let me read you those last little words and hear the three phrases. Is this not your father who gave you being, who gave you existence, you might say, who made you and by whom you subsist? Okay. Kitty, First Chronicles.
Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou rulest over all. In thy hand are power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from thee, and of thy own hand have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding.
Before we go on to Psalm 8, let me just get you to listen to a couple of things that were in this part that Kitty read for us. When David is speaking, he's talking about putting together materials for the temple, for the building of the temple. And at the end of this, he says, Lord, you're so majestic. The universe is yours. How can we even connect to you as human beings to God? And you begin to get a sense of David realizing how great God is, realizes how small we are. That's picked up and echoed in Psalm 8, which is said to be a psalm from David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the world. Whoever keeps singing of your majesty higher than the heavens, even through the mouths of children or of babes in arms, you make him a fortress, firm against your foes, to subdue the enemy and the rebel. I look at your heavens, shaped by your fingers. I look at the moon and the stars that you set in place. What are human beings that you spare a thought for them? Or a child of Adam that you care for him? And yet you made him a little less than a god, and crowned him with glory and beauty. You made him lord of the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, sheep and cattle, all of them, even the wild beasts, birds in the sky, fish in the sea, when the fish make their way across the ocean. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the world. Do you see how that echoes some of that same thought? Okay, Janie, Psalm 19.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where thy voice is not heard.
Some of you, we're about to read in Isaiah. Some of you may not know this, so I want to make sure that you hear this before I read. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. How many chapters are there in Isaiah? 66. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. How many are in the New Testament? 27. There are some people who look at Isaiah as the Bible in miniature. And if that's so, then that says, starting at Isaiah 40, the first chapter after the first 39, starts a very different kind of language. You hear more words that are consistent with words that you hear from Jesus. Words of comfort, words of assurance. And it's words of that sort that we're about to read in chapter 43. There's more that we're putting down. I think we're going to skip over the rest of that. But listen to these. And now, says the Lord, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. Should you pass through the waters, I will be with you, or through rivers, they will not swallow you up. Should you walk through fire, you will not suffer, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. I regard you as precious. You are honored, and I love you. Therefore I have given people in exchange for you and nations in return for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and I will gather you from the west. To the north I will say, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring back my sons from far away, and my daughters from the remotest part of the earth. everyone who bears my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. Rita, Jeremiah.
But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult in the waters and the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth, and he makes lightning for the rain, and he brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. For the molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is he. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name.
That's the Old Testament part. What do you see? What do you see about God in these? In the verses that we've read and looked at. What do you see?
Creator.
You certainly see God as creator. What else?
Relationship is borrower.
You see God as a loving father to human beings. You see God as a loving father to human beings. And there are places, we saw one of those in Psalms, we saw one of those in Chronicles, where someone who's very astute, who begins to understand what that means, is overwhelmed by the thought. And this morning, one of my goals is to have you, for a moment, be overwhelmed by that thought. I have on my computer a little program. It's a movie. You can download it from one of the NASA sites if you want it. If you really want it enough, I'll send it to you. What it shows is it shows a picture from the Hubble telescope. And the opening scene of this movie shows either the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper. I haven't learned to tell them apart when you only see one, not both. And it sort of outlines the Big Dipper. And it picks one of the stars in the Dipper. And it suddenly focuses in by a factor of about 100 into that area. And all of a sudden you realize that one star that you saw there is hundreds of stars. It picks one star out of that, focuses in 100 times on that, and it does this about 8 times. And the 8th time it does this, you realize that what you're seeing are no longer stars. They are galaxies. Hundreds of them. All in a spot of the sky about that big. You can't look at that movie without being overwhelmed the way David was overwhelmed, I think. The God who created galaxies that are so small I can't see them by the hundreds in every pinpoint of space in which I might try to look is also willing and ready to be my father. There is a contrast between those two, and you are wise to have given those as the first two you see. What else do you see? There are a couple more things.
King.
God has some standards, and there are consequences when people do not reach those standards. And there is tension between those two. I don't think you could get a much better summary of the Old Testament than those 3 points. That's a pretty good summary. Where does the New Testament fit? I set you up. In the resolution of the tension. Why did Jesus come? To make me able to stand before the judge and have the judge still treat me as if I'm his son. The essence of the New Testament. And if you listen in Isaiah, you begin to hear a clue of that. It was in Jeremiah. It went back and forth between those two. Okay. It went back and forth between those two. Now, there's a couple more things. Did you hear anything in there about power? Did you hear anything in there about knowledge?
Perfect.
Did you hear anything in there about presence? We didn't read other things we could have read. We didn't read the part where David says, "Where can I flee from your presence? It doesn't matter where I go, you're already there." What was the name that God gave in the part that Caroline read? What's God's name? God's name is I Am. Or I Am That I Am. Remember your English from high school? What tense is that?
Present, always present, indicative.
This is the part that I think is the most troublesome. The extra sentence that was added in 2000 addresses this. And I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think sometimes a Calvinistic position can take it places that it doesn't need to go. But for God, all of time is present tense. All of space is, let me stretch that term, present tense. God is present in all time and all space, all the time. I can't get my head around that one either. But if you listen carefully to what's here, that's what it's saying. God isn't trapped in time the way we are. It seems a little foolish then to have arguments about how God and time work together. How long did creation take? When God is not bound by and trapped in time, that's not as meaningful a question as you might think. What is the meaningful question? God created the heavens and the earth. That is the question that we need to answer with affirmation. Anything else you pick up? Are there limits to God's power? Are there limits to God's knowledge? Are there limits to God's presence? If you hear those first two questions, the third question fits with it. Presence, both in the sense of time and space. Now, did you pick up anything about God the Father in this? Did you pick up that God treats human beings as his children? Well, let's move to the first one in the New Testament. This is Romans 8. Let's move to Romans 8. This is one I'm going to read, mainly because it's long, but also because it's fun. If you read through here, you may notice there's also a passage in Galatians. And if you remember, Galatians and Romans are companion books. So it's not too surprising they're really addressing the same thing. I've chosen the section out of Romans to read, and we'll skip the section in Galatians. All who are guided by the Spirit of God are sons or children of God. For what you received was not the spirit of slavery to bring you back into fear. No, you received the spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. Just to make absolutely sure, everybody knows what Abba means, right? It's an Aramaic term that Jesus would probably have used when he was 1 or 2 years old. Have you seen my grandson? We've got to get him back in here. There was a day, it's close to a year ago now, when I had finished a Sunday school lesson. At the second hour, I was talking to somebody up here, and he came in the door. He walked up to us. Whoever I was talking to, he grabbed their clothes, pulled on it just a minute. They stopped and looked down at him. He pointed at me and he says, "That's my papa." The same God who created those galaxies that I can't see without the help of technology like the Hubble telescope allows me to call him Daddy and to have that close and personal a relationship. This is what Baptists believe. This is where we make a stand. The same God who's in control of the galaxy loves me and loves you and stands ready to love every human being on earth.
You said this is the Baptist position?
It is not unique to Baptists at all, no.
Okay.
But it is, we are looking at the Baptist faith and message. This is a statement of what Baptists believe. The heart of what this one is talking about is the wonder between those two. Where we're still waiting is to get into the tension, because the tension is really more explored in the second of these, God the Son. That's where we look more at that. Okay, Norma, you want to read 1 Corinthians for us?
Yes, for us there is the one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and from whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as being sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do.
What is it that brings us close to God? What brings us close to God is spiritual. It's not things we do. In this particular case, they were looking at a specific problem in that early church. There was food that was on sale that was cheap, and it was cheap because it had been offered to idols. Could a poor Christian buy that food and eat it? And Paul was addressing that. But hiding in the middle of this, he's basically saying, it's not what you do that brings God close. God's already close. All you need to do is respond. It turns out, as I was rushing through here, I left out something between here and here. I left out John 14, and I want to go back and correct that. So if you're taking notes, this is John 14. I'm starting in verse 6. I'll write that up here. Because some of you are taking notes. I think it's 6 through 10. Let me read this for you. Thomas said in verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know my Father too. From this moment, you know him, and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So don't say, 'Show us the Father.' Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? What I say to you, I do not say of my own accord. It is the Father living in me who is doing his works. You must believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe in it on the evidence of these works." That talks to the identity between the persons of the Trinity. Okay, let's see. Tom, I think you're next.
Trial is to be led along together by the Holy Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. We are all parts of one body. We have the same Spirit, and we have all this call and this many glorious future. For us, there is only one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we all have the same God and Father who is both all us all and in us all, and living through every part of us.
Over us all and in us all. One God. Colossians is the companion book to Ephesians. Maybe you know that. If you don't, it's a good thing to know. So Colossians is actually addressing some of this. And you need to hear what John 14 said before you hear this part. Because this is talking again about that same issue. I'm starting at verse 12 of Colossians 1. Giving thanks with joy to the Father, who has made you able to share the lot of God's holy people and with them to inherit the life, because that is what he has done. It is he who has rescued us from the ruling force of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And in him we enjoy our freedom, the forgiveness of sin. He, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the unseen God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, everything visible and everything invisible, thrones, ruling forces, sovereignties, powers. All things were created through him and for him. He exists before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, that is, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he should be supreme in every way, because God wanted all fullness to be found in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, everything in heaven and everything on earth, by making peace through his death on the cross. Easter is coming, where we celebrate the power of that death and the resurrection that followed. Eloise?
Glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen.
Lynn?
And for their faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him.
Okay.
And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness.
Let me close by reading 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm starting at verse 17. If you address as Father the one who judges without favoritism according to each individual's deeds, then live out the time of your exile here in reverent awe. For you know that the price of your ransom from that futile way of life handed down from your ancestors was paid not in anything perishable like silver or gold, but in precious blood as of a blameless and spotless lamb, Jesus Christ. He was marked out before the world was made and was revealed at the final point of time for your sake. Through him, you now have faith in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory for this very purpose, that your faith and your hope should be in God. Since by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves so that you can experience the genuine love of brothers and sisters, love each other intensely from the heart, for your new birth was not from any perishable seed, but from imperishable seed, the living and enduring Word of God. For all humanity is grass, and all its beauty like the wildflowers. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that has been brought to you. God created the heavens and the earth. God is, or wants to be, a loving Father. God is King, Judge, and Ruler. And God makes us right with him through his Son. Did you notice how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit worked through all these things that we were reading? Next week, we're going to look a little bit closer at the role of the Son. But this is enough for today. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you that you love us. And that you showed your love by coming in the person of your Son to die for us. And that that resurrection shows the power you have over death. And we thank you that you come to us today in the person of the Spirit to be with us in person, guiding our lives and helping us to relate to others of your children and helping us to do the work of witnessing to a waiting world. We pray that this week you would make alive even more in our hearts your presence and your direction. For these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.